The Old Testament reading is from the book of 2 Kings, chapter 22, verses 1 to 19. Josiah was 8 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 31 years. His mother's name was Jedidah, daughter of Adiah. She was from Bozkath. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and followed completely the ways of his father David, not turning aside to the right or to the left. In the 18th year of his reign, King Josiah sent the secretary, Shaphan, son of Azaliah, the son of Meshulam, to the temple of the Lord. He said, "Go up to Hilkiah the high priest and have him get ready the money that has been brought into the temple of the Lord, which the doorkeepers have collected from the people. Have them entrust it to the men appointed to supervise the work on the temple, and have these men pay the workers who repair the temple of the Lord, the carpenters, the builders, and the masons. Also have them purchase timber and dressed stone to repair the temple. But they need not account for the money entrusted to them, because they are honest in their dealings." Hilkiah the high priest said to Shaphan the secretary, "I have found the book of the law in the temple of the Lord." He gave it to Shaphan, who read it. Then Shaphan the secretary went to the king and reported to him, "Your officials have paid out the money that was in the temple of the Lord and have entrusted it to the workers and supervisors at the temple." Then Shaphan the secretary informed the king, "Hilkiah the priest has given me a book." And Shaphan read from it in the presence of the king. When the king heard the words of the book of the law, he tore his robes. He gave these orders to Hilkiah the priest, Ahikam, son of Shaphan, Akbor, son of Micaiah, and Shaphan the secretary, and Azariah the king's attendant. "Go and inquire of the Lord for me, and for the people, and for all Judah, about what is written in this book that has been found. Great is the Lord's anger that burns against us because those who have gone before us have not obeyed the words of this book. They have not acted in accordance with all that is written there concerning us." Hilkiah the priest, Ahikam, Akbor, Shaphan, and Azariah went to speak to the prophet Huldah, who was the wife of Shallum, son of Tikva, the son of Harhas, keeper of the wardrobe. She lived in Jerusalem in the new quarter. She said to them, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Tell the man who sent you to me, 'This is what the Lord says. I am going to bring disaster on this place and its people, according to everything written in the book the king of Judah has read. Because they have forsaken me and burned incense to other gods and aroused my anger by all the idols their hands have made, my anger will burn against this place and will not be quenched. Tell the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord, 'This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says concerning the words you heard. Because your heart was responsive and you humbled yourself before the Lord when you heard what I have spoken against this place and its people, that they would become a curse and be laid waste, and because you tore your robes and wept in my presence, I also have heard you, declares the Lord.'" Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Thanks be to God. The New Testament reading is from the book of 2 Timothy, chapters 1 to 4, chapter 4, verses 1 to 8. "In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when people will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations, endure hardship, do the work of an evangelist, discharge all the duties of your ministry. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Thanks be to God.
Would you please stand for the gospel reading? The Holy Gospel according to John, chapter 1, beginning from verse 1 to 14.
Praise and glory to God.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and through the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children not born of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is the Gospel of Christ.
Praise Christ.
Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, just as before the readings, during the worship, I felt you saying, reminding us that we have the mind of Christ. Father, I pray that there will be a reality for each one of us, that all of us will go out of here knowing that we know the mind of Christ, a mind where you reveal yourself to us afresh. In Jesus' name, amen. When Fraser asked me to preach today, I asked him, what would the theme be? And in one of those rare moments of distraction, he said, you can preach on anything you like. And I thought that was quite a good idea. But I think his face fell when he realized what he had said. I said to him at the time, well, I'll preach on rebellious priests. Not a good idea. But what did come to mind is this, that there's a need throughout the church, through many churches, for church leaders in the Western world to dust off their Bibles and to rediscover the scriptures. And that's what rebellious priests need to do. In fact, I suspect all of us at times need to be refreshed in the Word of God. And dust off your Bible. Let God speak to you through it. In 2 Kings 22 and 23, we read about the rediscovery of the book of the law when the temple was being restored during the reign of King Josiah after years of neglect by previous kings. And we're told that Josiah did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and followed completely the ways of his father David, not turning aside to the right or to the left. And in this present generation, I believe there needs to be a rediscovery of the scriptures as the living word of God. We need many more Josiahs who do right in the eyes of the Lord. As you know, many churches throughout the Western world have put aside the scriptures and given preference to ideologies and baseless theories and humanistic teachings. But Paul warned Timothy, as you heard, this. He said, well, a time will come when people will no longer put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them great number of teachers who to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. And that's happening now. Some of the big churches in the States are turning away from the scriptures to say what people want to hear. To say that you really are quite good. There's no such thing as sin and things like that. And it's an increasing number of what were once Bible teaching churches turning away from the scriptures. What Paul's warning is just as real today as it was then. At the Presbyterian school I attended in Christchurch a few years ago, plus, we had a very liberal chaplain who saw that the Old and New Testaments were just simply stories, myths, folklore. Jesus taught some good moral principles. Miracles could easily be explained by science, or if they hadn't been explained, they soon would be. There was no talk of sin, no talk of salvation, no talk of the Holy Spirit, no talk of eternal life, no talk of judgment, no talk of God's wrath. I don't remember being taught in the Bible that the Bible was the Word of God, but rather a helpful guide which might help you to live well. That was it, but you had to read it selectively so you weren't confused by the bits that you didn't like. And during a clergy conference a few years ago, a vicar of a liberal church said that he'd rather read Shakespeare to his congregation than the Old Testament. No wonder it's time to make a stand against a church that's sliding into apathy and oblivion. The fruit of that sort of teaching is evident in liberal churches today. And many of our leaders are still caught up in it. It's hard to believe that some of our church leaders are so influenced by the world around them that they try to make the church acceptable to a fallen world by imitating a fallen world. It's at the very time when we find people in the world are saying there's something missing in my life. Some refer to it as the hole in the heart. What's missing? What makes us feel incomplete? Why do people search for drugs, for other things to try and interest their lives, try and give purpose to their lives, things that will never satisfy? The scriptures tell us that only Jesus can lift us out of that state of incompleteness. He reveals himself by his Holy Spirit through his word. Ignore the word and you run the peril of being lost in a rapidly disintegrating world, and in some places, in a dying church. This is why we need to rediscover the scriptures, the living word of God, because God does speak through his word. I have no doubt about it. I'm sure many of you have no doubt about it. Listen to this. This is a story about something that happened just a few months ago in London. There was a man standing outside St. Paul's and he was reading from the scriptures. The cathedral staff tried to stop him and they called the police because he was disturbing the peace in their view. And actually what the man was reading was from the Beatitudes. And he was saying, when the police officers turned up, there were actually two men and one woman, "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake." The cathedral staff had asked the police to move him on because this was a public precinct but it was in front of St. Paul's Cathedral, and it was actually on church property. However, the police officers came along, and the senior officer said to the cathedral staff member who was hovering around waiting for some action, "I'm of the opinion that this chap isn't causing a breach of the peace. This chap isn't impeding anyone. I'm happy for him to stay here." In fact, there were hardly any people listening to him. But he was doing what he felt was right, reading the scriptures. Then there was a bit of a standoff between the cathedral staff member and the police officer, which ended up with the police officer saying this. Listen to what he said. "This chap is reading from the Bible. I feel it would be remiss of me to move him from a place of worship." Police officer saying, "This is a place of worship. It's appropriate to read the Bible here." Is the world in such a state that we need to have a police officer to say that it's okay to read the Bible in the precincts of a church? Where are we heading? The story of Josiah in 2 Kings is timely warning what happens when people claiming to be the people of God forsake the word of God. Josiah was made king at the age of 8. 18 years later, he gave orders for the temple in Jerusalem to be restored. It had been just left to fall apart. As you heard in the reading this morning, during the clearing out of the temple, the book of the law was rediscovered. And it seems beyond belief that God's people had become so focused on worshipping pagan gods and being worldly that the book of the law was simply put away in some dark room and ignored. Temple rituals continued, pagan idols were brought into the sacred places, and no one seemed to care. The question is, could that happen today? Well, I can tell you, yes, it does happen today. And I've read of some of the churches, in the Episcopal Church in the States, where idols have been brought in, where there is pagan worship, where false gods have been worshipped. All sorts of things happening that are almost unbelievable. During the restoration, Hilkiah the high priest discovered the book of the law. He passed it on to Shaphan the secretary to read. There's no mention of whether Hilkiah actually read it for himself, although he was the high priest. It could have, I suppose, just been put on display. They could have said, "Look what we found, here's the book of the law, we'll put it on display." Or in some places they might say, "Here it is, it's a lovely icon, let's worship it." Or in some other places it might be set up as an idol. But Shaphan gave it to the king. And as you heard Josiah's response. When he read the book of the law, he tore his robes in repentance. And he said to Shaphan, Hilkiah, and some others this, "Go and inquire of the Lord for me, and for the people and for all Judah about what is written in this book that has been found. Great is the Lord's anger that burns against us, because those who have gone before us have not obeyed the words of this book. They have not acted in accordance with all that is written concerning us." God's anger is not talked about much today. People rather talk about a God who turns a blind eye to sin, as if sin still exists. The scripture tells us, however, that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. There are many references in both Old and particularly the New Testament about the wrath of God. There are many warnings about the coming day of wrath. The scriptures tell us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. However, we also know that God is a just God, a righteous God, and a God of grace and mercy. We know that when we've surrendered our lives to Jesus, then we have forgiveness. Then we have entered the pathway to eternal life. The men that Josiah sent sought out a prophetess who confirmed what Josiah had said. And this is what she said. "Tell this man who sent you to me. This is what the Lord says. I'm going to bring disaster on this place and its people, according to everything written in the book of the king of Judah, the king of Judah has read. Because they have forsaken me and burned incense to other gods and roused my anger by all the idols in their hands have made, my anger will burn against this place and it will not be quenched. Imagine hearing those words. The anger of the Lord would not be quenched. It would be so easy to dismiss the words of a prophet if we don't like them. But we would do so at our peril. We need to listen to our prophets today. We need to seek out who the prophets are. They speak both God's encouragement and they give God's warnings, as they have done through the ages. But not everyone who claims the gift of prophecy is a true messenger of God. Paul gave this directive. Do not quench the spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. Hold on to what is good. Reject every kind of evil. So how do we test prophecy? We check its content against Scripture. That's the guideline. If it's consistent with Scripture, we need to then listen and we need to pray it through and see if the prophet or prophetess is correct. The prophetess, though, in this case, gave not only words of warning of the wrath of God, but also gave encouragement to Josiah. Imagine hearing these words. Tell the king of Judah, who sent you to inquire of the Lord, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says concerning the words you heard. Because your heart was responsive and you humbled yourself before the Lord when you heard what I had spoken against this place and its people, that they would become a curse and be laid waste. Because you tore your robes and wept in my presence, I also have heard you, declares the Lord. The Lord always hears the repentant heart. So what was Josiah going to do? Well, firstly, he renewed the covenant by reading the book of the law to all the people that he had called together. He gathered them all together and read them the book of the law, and it's described like this. Maybe, could be. The king stood by the pillar and renewed the covenant in the presence of the Lord. To follow the Lord and keep his commandments, statutes and decrees with all his heart, with all his soul, thus confirming the words of the covenant written in this book. Then all the people pledged themselves to the covenant. Hearing God's word leads to repentance, if we truly listen. Such an act of corporate repentance and rededication is a very powerful act. But the question comes, did they mean it? Could they sustain it? I wonder how many times you and I have been in a church service and walked out at the end and can't remember much about it because our mind has been on other things. I wonder how many of us have promised to serve Jesus with the whole of our heart and walked out of the building and then just reverted back to where we were. You see, it's not simply a matter of words alone. When I was leading an ordination retreat for people who are about to be ordained, and I was going through the promises that the ordinands had to make, And we're just talking about, and one of the candidates said, those are just words, aren't they? We don't have to mean them, do we? Well, I assured her that she did have to mean them. and we had a little discussion. But as James says, it requires both faith and works, not just what goes on in our head and in our heart, but what we do about this. And so how did Josiah follow up the discovery of the book of the law and the rededication? He did it with action, and it was very clear action. He destroyed the idols and the images of pagan gods of Baal and Asherah, not only in the temple, but throughout Judah. I'm just going to list some of the things that he did. He removed from the temple of the Lord, keep in mind, this is the temple of the Lord, the articles made for Baal and Asherah, and he burned them. The false gods, the pagan gods. He did away with all the idolatrous priests who burnt incense to Baal and to the sun and the moon. He took the Asherah pole from the temple of the Lord and he burned it. The Asherah pole was a key pagan idol in those times. He tore down the quarters of the male shrine prostitutes that were in the temple of the Lord. He desecrated Topheth. Now Topheth was a place where people had an altar to Molech. He did this so no one could use it to sacrifice children in the fire to Molech. Burnt offerings of children in Judah. He removed from the entrance of the temple the Lord, the horse, of the temple of the Lord, the horses dedicated to the sun. Either side of the main entrance to the temple of the Lord, they constructed two idols of horses and chariots, which were facing the sun. And as people walked into the temple, they had to walk past those gods and those idols and acknowledge them. He pulled down the altars erected on the roof and built into the courts of the temple of the Lord. They'd actually built altars to pagan gods on the roof of the temple. He got rid of the mediums, the spiritists, the household gods, the idols, and other detestable things. Well, the list goes on a bit further, but I think that gives you a fair idea of what was going on in the temple of the Lord, which was to be the most holy place in all of Judah. He did this to fulfill the requirements of the law written in the book that Hilkiah the priest had discovered in the temple of the Lord. And then we read this. The king gave this order to all the people. Celebrate the Passover to the Lord your God as it is written in the book of the covenant. The Passover had not been celebrated fully in the way it was intended to be celebrated for nearly 400 years because people had dismissed the book of the law. It's incomprehensible to believe that a central feature of Judaism was so devalued. Well, we may be appalled at the situation that Josiah faced and applauded the cleansing of the temple. But listen to what Paul says. Do you not know your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. Is it any wonder then we need to examine our lives to see if they are a fit dwelling place for the Holy Spirit? Do some, perhaps all of us, need to invite the Holy Spirit to cleanse our lives, to cleanse it of the worldliness that we have allowed to creep into our thinking, into our values, into our spirituality, into our lifestyles? Have any of us allowed current false gods of secular ideologies or beliefs to dwell in the temple which rightfully belongs to the Holy Spirit? Are there the equivalents of the Asherah poles or Baal gods in the guise of so-called adult entertainment that have inveigled their way into our lives? Have we turned a blind eye to the sacrifice of unborn children on the altar of self? Have we allowed the beliefs and practice or spirituality of other religions to be mingled with our worship of God? If so, we need to confess our sin. We need to repent. We need to recommit our lives to Christ and ask for a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit. Then we'll rediscover the power of his word and we'll experience new life. But the choice is ours. We can be complacent. We can say, well, it doesn't matter too much. They're not major things. But ask the Holy Spirit to show you, and I ask him to show me, what these things are. Because we're in a time when the church throughout the Western world is moving into a time of confusion, a time where false gods are being worshipped, where scriptures are being put aside. And I don't want to be part of that. And I guess you don't either. But we need to seek the empowering of the Spirit. So there can be people of the word. There's an adage which has been used quite a lot. It says something like this. Churches that keep their worship and change their doctrine die. Churches that maintain their doctrine but change their worship in terms of the format of it are the ones that live. I want to be part of a church that's alive and living. I'm thankful that we're on that track, but God has much more for us.